some Christian greetings to each one this morning. It's good to be here in the place of worship. It's good to see each one of you here. It's nice to see our visitors. We extend a hearty welcome to you this morning. And most of all, we desire the presence of the Lord to be here with us. If He's here, He can look down in our hearts and see what our needs are, speak to us, and then if we're sensitive to His voice, then we can receive the help that we stand in need of. I'd like to look, if you want to look with me, over in Mark the 9th chapter. And I'd like to start with verse 14. And I just mentioned this morning, as far as remembering in prayer, let's especially remember Jonathan at this point. Evidently, there's some real upheaval over in Bangladesh as a result of a judgment against, I believe it's an Islam man, and there's a backlash through the country and demonstrations, and a number of people have already gotten killed right in the area close to where Jonathan is. So he especially needs that we remember him in prayer. Mark the 9th chapter, beginning with the 14th verse. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And whithersoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake unto thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." And he answered him and saith, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And he said, "Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus saith unto him, I'd like for you to particularly notice there's two ifs there. And the man made the statement first saying, "If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus turned right around and put it right straight back to him. He saith unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and saith with tears, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him." And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand, and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples ask him privately, "Why could we not cast him out?" And he saith unto them, "This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer." and fasting. I believe we'll stop right there. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before Thee this morning, we're so thankful that we can have the Master as our guest here in this place of worship. We're so thankful, dear Father, that Thou hast told us that Thou will not leave us comfortless, but that Thou wilt come and be with us, that the blessed Holy Spirit would come, the Spirit of Christ, and indwell us and be that river of living waters that would flow through us, and that we might be a channel that Thy presence can reach out to those that are hurting and those that are needing. We pray that Thou will help us, that we might allow Thee to work in our hearts and lives, and Father, that we might follow Thee, walk in the steps of the Savior, and allow Thee to guide us every single day of our lives. Just be with us this morning. Guide and direct what is said, what is done. We shall give Thee all the praise. In Jesus' precious name, amen. We find in this scripture a great multitude that's gathered together. And then Jesus comes on the scene. And when they see Him, they came running to Him. And He asked the question in verse 16, "What question ye with them?" And then one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit." And he told all about the situation. It was a very sad situation. I'm sure if he would have been our son, it would be a real sad situation. He said that this dumb spirit, it teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, pineth away. But then it was even a sadder situation, because he'd come to the disciples of Jesus and he had asked them to help him. And he says, and they could not. "I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." And then Jesus made a statement that I suppose all of us need to think about in our own hearts and lives. He said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me." Faithless generation, how long will he be with them? And I'm sure that this was running through the disciples' minds too. They had evidently been successful in numbers of times. The scripture records that they had been used of God to heal different ones and to reach out to the needy, and had rejoiced about that. In fact, Jesus had even told them that the main thing to rejoice about was that our names are written in heaven. And he said to the man, "How long is it also since this came unto him?" And he said, "Of a child." So I don't know how old he was right now, but it must have been when he was a younger child. And at the beginning of the section, it spoke of him bringing his son. So he may have been just a little older child here at this point. But he said, the awful situation, it hath cast him into the fire, into the waters, to destroy him. The devil has no mercy on anyone. He doesn't love anyone. People think, "Well, I'm going to have my fling in life. I'm going to do what I want to do. I am going to live it up." But if you're following the enemy, he's just like the man that went along throwing out the beans, and the pigs were following along eating them. But as he threw them out, he was getting closer and closer to the slaughterhouse. And he kept throwing them out, egging them on, and they followed him right in the door of the slaughterhouse where they met their end. And it's the same way with the enemy. He'll give you just enough to lead you on and show you something that you think this is really good. I'm enjoying myself. I'm really having pleasure in what I want to do. And yet you don't realize that the enemy is taking you right to the place of endless destruction. Well, he said here that oft times it casts him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. And if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. I believe this man was, like has been said, he was at his wit's end. He didn't know what else to do. I remember as we were camping one time, that one of the little girls tripped and fell right over the campfire, the grill. And it took no time until somebody had grabbed her and jerked her up. And we quickly went to the vehicle. We had a little chickweed salve. We put it on. Her hand had been burned. It could have been lots, lots worse. But what would it be like to have a child that this spirit, this dumb spirit, would cast them into the fire and cast them into the water, and you had to continually be watching? I don't know what kind of a situation it was. It was an awful thing. But this man had come to the right source. And he made the statement just before this. He said, "Bring him unto me." And sometimes I think in our reaching out, we reach the wrong direction. He said, "Bring him unto me." And we try this and we try that and we try something else. Then we try everything that we can think of. And finally, in our desperation, maybe the last thing we do is bring them to Jesus. And that can be in a physical sense and a spiritual sense. And that's sad when the most important thing is to bring him to the one who is the great physician, the sympathizing Jesus, the one that knows every need. Jesus said unto him, after he had cried out to the Lord, "If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Have compassion upon us and help us. And Jesus said to him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." All things are possible to him that believeth. Had to think of the scripture that speaks about asking and seeking and knocking, that if we would ask and if we would seek, we would find. If we would knock, that it would be open to us. And the promises of faith are wonderful to the people of God. But sometimes the exercising part of faith is maybe even more so than physical exercise. Physical exercise, it's hard work. I mean, you have to put your all into it. You have to really be engaged. And spiritual exercise, sometimes it looks like that all the props have been knocked clear off from under us and we're simply hanging there, and that's really where God wants us to be. There on the mercies of God and learning to trust. And oh, we think, well, it's sort of like the little child, you know, you see them up on whatever it is, standing up there, and I've done it myself and asked them to jump into my arms. Oh, you know, they're scared and they work back and forth and they try to get up their courage. "Come on, jump, I'll catch you." And they don't, and then all of a sudden there seems to be a relaxing and the jump. And sure enough, if you catch them, you told them that you would. But there's that normal human fear. And sometimes we're that way. It's hard for us to just cast ourselves into the arms of the Lord. And so sometimes he has to knock out all the other props and get them out of the way. And then we can just cast ourselves into the arms of God and simply rely on him and trust in him. And it takes exercising that faith. We look back to where the Lord answered prayer for us back here. That's an encouragement. But every time it seems like that it takes a new amount of faith for the Lord to be able to work. I have often thought of that scripture, how that even Jesus, when he went among his people and they rationalized in their human brains, and I tell you, you can lose faith by doing that. There's been a lot of people done it with the scriptures, textual critics and all that. And they rationalize, this is just Joseph's son. What can he do? And it said that he could do no great work among them because there was not faith in God. And we can rationalize that God can't do it, that it's just impossible, that we're in an impossible situation. And that's about where we'll be if we don't turn towards the Lord and seek for his face. So he said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And here we had a father that was really in earnest. A father that really loved his son. One that I believe, no doubt he would probably give his own life if he could have helped that boy. And he says, straightway the father of the child cried out, with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And I believe what he was saying here, Lord, I believe that you can do it. And if there's any unbelief in me, take care of that. Because he wanted his full confidence in God. Sometimes we need that same faith right there that says, Lord, I'm yours, take me, use me, do it in your own way. And here I am, just a vessel to be used of God. Jesus saw the people come running together and he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him. So he immediately turned to the need. After faith was engaged, Jesus turned to the needy situation, and he said, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the secret to an answer to faith is God's word, God's eternal word. The word of God will always work. What God says will never fail. And when Jesus commanded that dumb spirit to come out of him, it says that the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Have you ever thought about the question that the disciples asked Jesus in verse 28? And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus answered them that this kind cometh forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. The disciples had not been doing this just right before that. But if you read on down in the chapter, it just hit me this morning as I was reading this that just a few verses down, Jesus asked them in verse 33 when they came to Capernaum, what was it that you disputed among yourselves by the way? And in verse 34 it says, but they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. If there's anything that will stop the power of God, it's pride and self-exaltation and thinking that you're able to take care of the situation. If you want to stop the power of God, all you have to do is just say a few things, brag on yourself a little bit, or that you can even say things that will make it look like that you're pretty spiritual, you're pretty whatever. And I just had to think about this. I wonder if the disciples in this place had seen so much working of God and people healed and things taking place. Where did they get over into the area when they started in questioning each other? Which one of us is going to be the greatest? It's very evident they were clear off course. And now they were thinking about which one's going to be the greatest. And here was a need thrust to them. And the work didn't take place. And I wonder if the Lord didn't turn right around at this scripture and ask them that question that completely took their speech away. What was it that you disputed among yourselves by the way? But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he did to them probably what we need a lot of. He sat down with them and he called them and said to them, if any man desire to be the first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. And then he took the child and set him in the midst with him and told him how we need to be like a little child. And even in our simplicity and our faith to God. May the Lord help us this morning that we're never lifted up in ourselves or get to thinking, well, I'm a great singer, I'm a great preacher, I can really testify, or I can really pray. Good things can be completely grounded by us not giving the credit to God. May the Lord help us today. Let's kneel in prayer.